All right, would you turn tonight to the book of Proverbs chapter 3? Proverbs chapter 3, and tonight we're going to just wrap up this little short series about walking in wisdom that we've been dealing with for a couple of weeks. And tonight we want to dwell upon the thought that wisdom is profitable. You know, that song that we were just singing said that it's best for the Lord to have His way with us. But did you ever think that if it's so good for the Lord to have His way with us, why does our flesh fight so hard against that? And why is it that we push back sometimes against what the Lord wants to do in our lives, not realizing or I would rather say not appropriating by faith the truth that what God does is best? When we talk about wisdom, and we have for a couple of weeks spoken about this topic, when we talk about wisdom, the life of wisdom is a supernatural life. This isn't a life of just head knowledge about the things of the Lord, but wisdom, by the very nature of the word and the way that it is defined in the book of Proverbs, has the idea of application of truth in our lives. And we need to go beyond just knowing what is right. We need to apply those things in our lives. That's when we see wisdom at work. It's one thing to know what is right. It's entirely another thing to do it. And we would find, if we really study this out in the scriptures, that the only way that we can do the right thing is by the power of God. It's really by the grace of God that we can live a life of wisdom. As we were talking about the what wisdom is and how it's described in the book of Proverbs, I pointed out to you how good God is and how gracious God is to provide us wisdom in His Word, to make it accessible to us so that we can know what the right thing is to do. But just because God provides wisdom to us doesn't mean that we all are eagerly grasping God's wisdom in our lives. And the truth is, sadly, because many people find the pursuit of wisdom to be too difficult, they prefer to lean to their own understanding instead. And in doing so, they miss out on the profit of wisdom, the benefit that comes when we live a life that is according to God's word. Tonight, we want to think about this subject of what is wisdom worth and what is the result of walking in a wise way in this world. Is it really worth it for us to seek after and to obtain the wisdom of God for our lives? And what is the result of obtaining God's wisdom and applying it in our daily lives? I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse number 13, and we'll read down through verse number 18. Tonight, this is going to be our primary text, but we're going to look at a lot of other verses as well in the book of Proverbs tonight. Look there in verse number 13, Proverbs chapter 3. The Bible says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her." Tonight, we want to answer the question, what is the benefit of getting wisdom? Is it really worth the effort to pursue after God's wisdom and to apply God's wisdom in our lives? Tonight, we want to look at six benefits or six advantages that come to our life when we take God's wisdom and put it to work in our daily lives. Notice, first of all, we find here in our text in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 13 that the man who gets wisdom experiences satisfaction in his path. If you get a hold of God's wisdom and begin to apply it in your life, the author here in Proverbs says it this way in verse 13, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." Do you know a lot of people want to be happy tonight? A lot of people are looking for happiness. And I think we just had Black Friday a few days ago. And I always marvel at Black Friday. Now, listen, if you went shopping on Black Friday, I'm not upset with you. I don't get it. But if you went shopping on Black Friday, more power to you. But I don't understand standing in line for hours to rush into a store to get a big screen TV. That's $100 off. It doesn't make much sense to me. Maybe it makes sense to you. But I think a lot of people think if they get a big screen TV for Christmas this year, they're really going to be happy. They're really going to be satisfied. And, you know, the problem is they have the one that's already in their house that they're not happy with. But now there's a bigger and better one. Now there's 4K and there's high definition and there's this and that. And isn't the world a master at saying you really have to have this to be happy? And when we get it, then they say, now that's not really going to make you all that happy. You need something a little more and a little more. But God says this: happy is the man that finds wisdom. If we will begin to seek after wisdom in our lives, if we'll learn that God has given us his wisdom, if we'll seek after it and we'll apply God's wisdom, we can find what it is to really be happy. And that word happy that is used here in this verse doesn't have the idea of a temporary happiness. It's funny, if we get a package that comes in the mail, my kids have a skewed idea of value. And so Philip, his idea, if a package comes in the mail, the most valuable part of the package is the box, because you can do fun things with the box. And he doesn't necessarily understand that whatever's in the box is more valuable than that. You know, that's really describes how a lot of us are in this life. And God tries to give us wisdom. He tries to make his wisdom accessible to us. And we are looking for happiness in other places. But the word happy that is being used here in verse 13 is not really a shallow or sappy type of a sentiment. It's not the world's idea of happiness, of giddiness, or I got this and now I'm happy. But it has this idea of a deep state of settled contentment. It's used synonymously with the word blessed, and it has the idea that God has his hand upon this man's life. Now, really, this is the happiness of a man who can endure the trials and troubles of life and still recognize that God is blessing him even in the midst of those trials. You know, there's something special about knowing that even when you go through difficulties, that God is able to turn those things to good, that God is able to work in the midst of those. That's really wisdom, when you can look at the trials of life and understand that even in those difficulties, God can receive glory and he can do good things in your life in the midst of those trials. That's a wonderful benefit. But, you know, many people looking for happiness. The sad thing is there's a whole lot of believers who are looking for happiness and looking in all the wrong places when God has offered. And he said, here's my wisdom. If you seek after my wisdom, you'll find what happiness really is. I think today so many people are looking for happiness in places where they're never going to find it. And we are in the midst of this whatever we want to call it, an unveiling and a crisis in our country of sexual harassment and accusations against all of these notable and famous people. And you think, here are people who had literally everything, but it didn't make them happy, and they thought something else would make them happy. And now their lives are being torn apart by these accusations. You think about how our flesh is always looking for something else. But here's what I want you to understand is that what God offers really satisfies. What God offers is really the truth. And it's really something that we can build our lives upon. And so Solomon says here in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. I think if we can find wisdom and we can pursue wisdom and we can apply wisdom in our lives, we'll be really happy. Really happy. And second of all, there's another benefit for those who get wisdom. In verse 14 and 15, there is not only satisfaction in your path, but there's real riches on your way. He says there in verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now, isn't that an interesting way that Solomon puts that? And I'm reminded of the verse that we were just reading over in our scripture memory When the Bible says in verse 162 of Psalm 119, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And you know, the word of God and the wisdom of God are synonymous. That's where God reveals his wisdom to us. And yet, how often do we really think of God's word as a treasure chest? I mean, if you were out in your backyard digging and you found a pirate chest filled to the top with gold and silver and precious jewels that was worth millions of dollars, I have a feeling that you would come to church the next time you come to church and you would have a big smile on your face. You would be a very, very happy individual. You would really think that you got something. And yet God says that his word is a great treasure to us. And in fact, over in our text in Proverbs 13, he says that his wisdom is more valuable than gold and silver and rubies. The word that is used there in verse 14, the merchandise of it, has the idea of a gain or a profit from something. This would be like if you, I remember a couple of years ago, we went to Home Depot, and at Home Depot they were selling these gas grills for way less than what they were worth. And so I bought all of them that I could, and I brought them back here. And then that was in the winter. And then in the spring, I sold them for a little bit less than what they were worth, and I made some money. I was pretty happy about that. I made a few hundred dollars. And I thought, wow, that's pretty great. I made some profit. I merchandised those grills. Aren't you happy for me? Now, some of you are thinking, I didn't see any grills like that. I want to make that profit. Now, when we make a profit on something, we get pretty happy. If you bought an old car for a couple hundred dollars, and the next day somebody came up to you and offered you $20,000 for that car, then you'd say, sure, I'll sell it to you for $20,000. Man, you'd be skipping to the bank, wouldn't you? Think, woohoo, what a profit I made. Now, here's what Solomon says, is that when we get wisdom, the gain or the profit that we receive with wisdom is better than a lot of money. Now, there is real profit to those who procure God's wisdom, and that is both tangible and intangible. So there are real tangible benefits to those who get God's wisdom, and then there's also intangible benefits, what we would call spiritual benefits, or benefits that are reserved for eternity. And by the way, those are actually the most valuable things. We don't tend to value them that way. But here, Solomon tells us, if you get wisdom, the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. Wisdom is more valuable than silver and gold and rubies and all other things that could be desired. I'm reading a book right now about jewels and how they get their value. Do you ever think about that? Whose idea was it that diamonds would be worth so much money? Pretty interesting, actually. It's actually manipulated, which is another interesting thing. And I won't get into all of that, but a very interesting story about how diamonds became a very valuable thing in people's minds. And then how the diamond industry convinced all of us that if you're going to get married, the woman that you're marrying ought to receive a diamond. And if she doesn't, she's not really getting a good deal. That was good advertising, which took place actually in the mid-1900s. And now it's almost unheard of. If somebody's going to get married, they're going to get an engagement ring. Before that, it was not really something that people thought of. But, you know, who says that something is valuable? Well, people have all kinds of value systems, don't they? Here, he says, there's gold and there's silver and there's rubies, things that we would recognize as being valuable because of their relative rarity. And we would say, okay, these things are valuable, but wisdom is more valuable than that. Now, think with me for a moment. How much of our time do we spend earning riches? Most of us go to work and we put in 40, 50, sometimes 60 hours in a week. And we do that so that I would say we receive some kind of compensation so that we can put that money in the bank account so that we can then use that to pay expenses. And what we're really doing, aren't we, is exchanging part of our life, the moments of our life, in exchange for some kind of material compensation. Now think with me for just a moment. If wisdom is more valuable than gold and silver and rubies, doesn't it seem to follow then that we ought to be willing to invest our lives in learning God's wisdom? If we would invest our lives to get money, shouldn't we invest our lives to get God's wisdom if God's wisdom has great value? In fact, in these verses, in verse 14 and 15, he says this specifically in verse 15, all the things thou canst desire, look at this next phrase, are not to be compared unto her. Not to be compared unto her. There is nothing in the physical realm that can even come close to the value that of what God is giving to us in his wisdom. Now, I want you to pause for a moment, because for those who get wisdom, you get real riches. But how often is it that we kind of discount that? And we don't really estimate, or we don't really value that which God has given to us in the way that God wants us to value it. And this is really what Satan does in his deceitfulness, is he tries to get us to give a lower value to God's wisdom and a higher value to temporal riches and the things of this life, when really it should be the other way around. As God's people, our lives should be marked by a pursuit after wisdom, because if we get wisdom, we're going to get real riches. We're going to get something that is of real value. Look over in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 11. This is reiterated over here again. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. That's a good thing. The wisdom that God gives to us. Now, interestingly enough, you have a Bible in your hands. What does it really cost you to pursue after wisdom? Well, it costs you some time, costs you some attention. But this isn't something that you have to be in the top 1% of the world, financially speaking, in order to get access to, is it? God has made it accessible to us. And God is giving us real riches. I marvel at the wisdom that is in God's word sometimes. You know, people in the business world pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to go to seminars to learn the kind of principles that are just found for free in the Bible. And we come to church and these principles are expounded from the scriptures and we're exposed to those things. What a blessing that is, that God gives this kind of wisdom freely to us. And if we get a hold of God's wisdom, we can have real riches. I know some of you young people really want to be rich. You really want to be wealthy. If you get God's wisdom, you're going to be a wealthy person. You may not have the biggest house on the block. You may not have the fanciest car, but you'll have riches that in God's eyes are really valuable. Then note in Proverbs chapter 3, a third benefit, a third blessing that comes because of wisdom. In verse number 16, says length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Now, this is an interesting analogy in verse 16. And we see wisdom again personified as a woman who is holding gifts in her hands, and in one of her hands, in her right hand, she's holding length of days. I think today people spend a lot of money trying to live longer, don't they? I was struck with the irony of this yesterday. I was out running some errands and I was watching people in the shopping center fighting over parking spaces. So, I mean, this woman, she had traffic backed up behind her all the way out the parking lot into the street practically. And the reason was because she wanted the spot that was two or three up from the store where somebody was backing up. And so she was not moving until that person backed out and she got that spot. And I was scratching my head and I thought, wow, she's really causing a backup so that she can get this parking space. And then the irony of this struck me. that in America, we fight over parking spaces that are closer to the store while we pay a monthly membership to a gym that we never go to. Isn't that funny? Anyway, I thought it was funny. Now, why do people go to the gym, and why do people take vitamins, and why do people go to the doctor for a physical and all these sort of things? Well, because generally we want to live a long life, and I'm not against that. I'm not preaching against that. I kind of like to live a long life too. But isn't it interesting that people will pursue after a long life through all of these things? But God says that wisdom offers length of life in her hands. God offers, is the one who offers a long life. Now, there's several scriptural principles about the length of life. And I want to point out that this isn't an absolute promise that if you get wisdom, you're going to live a very long life on this earth. But rather, it's a general principle, because obviously we know there were people who were wise who were cut off. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He lived to be 33 before he went to the cross. And so we would say, well, he was the wisest person that ever lived. But when it speaks about the length of days, I think it has more to do than just how many days we live on this life, although there's certainly a part of that, too. There's also a truth that is found here about wisdom, that when we get wisdom, there is an ongoing eternal life which is found in Christ. And we can have real life that is enduring, that is eternal, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly there's also a principle here in verse 16 that there are those who've had their lives cut short because they have neglected God's wisdom, because they've been foolish and they've been foolishly pursuing sin. And because of that, they have had their life cut short. What a tragedy it is when someone's life is cut short because of foolishness. Because of some poor decision, because of sin that they're pursuing, and because of that, it seems that their life is cut off sooner than it should have been. Look with me over in Proverbs chapter 9. Because when we think about wisdom giving us length of life, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 11 goes along with this, and it says there, "For by me, by wisdom, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." Now, the language that is used in chapter 9 and verse 11 speaks not just about the length of life, but it talks about the quality of life. You know, God's intention is not just that we would live a long life, but God wants us to make the most out of every day that we live. He wants us to live every day to its full potential, so that we can fulfill His will. And if we'll get wisdom, we can find that our lives will be lived in such a way that we will make a maximum impact for the Lord. And in that way, that the years of our life will be increased and multiplied, and we can rejoice in the life that God gives to us. You know, this is true of a person. You can go back to Proverbs chapter 3. A person that is pursuing after wisdom is going to profit in that they're going to enjoy a life that is meaningful and a life that is long. I don't understand all about how God figures this out or how God adjusts for people's lives and how long they'll be. The Bible gives us some indications. We know, for instance, that after the flood, there was a reduction in how long men would live. We know that, again, there was a reduction a little bit later. And now we would expect most people to live. The book of Psalms and Psalm 90 tells us most people will live 70 years, 70 years. And if by reason of strength, 80 years, then that's a blessing. And so life is generally measured in that way. And we don't understand all of how God figures this out. But we do know this, that if you get wisdom, you also get length of life. So if you want to live a long life, I want to advocate to you that you ought to pursue after God's wisdom. But now she's also described there in Proverbs 3:16 as holding length of days in her right hand and in her left hand riches and honor. Now, we've already talked about riches a little bit before, but I want to hone in there on that idea of honor. And the fourth benefit of those who get wisdom is there is honor that comes to them. What is honor? When we think about that word honor, it really means dignity and glory. And you know, there's a lot of people who would like to get glory in this life. They want to get the recognition of men. But this is not so much talking about the recognition of men as it is talking about honor from God. So when God looks at our lives, there is the potential for those who live in a way that is according to the wisdom of God, that in God's judgment, we have lived a life that is pleasing to Him. In other words, we have the potential that He'll say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," which would be the greatest honor that we could receive. In verse 22, it's described this way, this idea of honor. So shall they be, these principles of wisdom, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Now that phrase, grace to thy neck, has a picture of like an ornament that would be put around the neck of someone who ruled and who is in authority. And that would symbolize their authority. That would symbolize their position and the place that was given to them. And here's what God says. When we live according to His wisdom, God's principles in our life will be like an ornament of grace about our neck. People notice when you're living according to God's principles. That's a good thing. We want to live a life that will be such that others will look and say, you know, their life is different. And by the way, when people say their life is different, don't say, "Oh, yeah, that's right. That's me." Don't say, "That's God. That's God's principles. That's God's wisdom. And it's His grace that allowed me to experience and to know what it is." As we think about honor, I want you to hold your place here in chapter 3. You probably don't even have to turn the page. In chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 11 and 12, "Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things." And it goes on to describe this man and the things that he involves himself in. But you know, when we have wisdom, it will help us to prevent from going in the path or being taken in the temptation of the evil man. We live in a world that is full of evil, don't we? Evil is on every hand. And if you're not aware of this, you ought to really be careful in your life, because there are a lot of opportunities for indiscretion. There's a lot of opportunities for a believer to lose their testimony. And there's a lot of temptations in this world, and those can take all sorts of forms. But God wants us, when we walk according to His wisdom, to know that we can live a life that is distinguished, a life that receives God's honor, that receives God's approval, and such that other people look at us and say, "Hey, their life is not the same as the rest of the world." Now, we realize that oftentimes the world mocks Christians when their life is different, don't they? They think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. "Oh, what's wrong with you? You too good to participate in this? Oh, I see. You're not up for this kind of stuff. And you're a holy roller. You're this, you're that." And really, you know, it can be hard as a Christian to not take that upon yourself and then succumb to that temptation. But wisdom tells us, you know, those people are going towards destruction. And as a Christian, I ought to live a life that is different. We can receive honor by being delivered from the evil man and his temptations. Now turn to chapter 12 of Proverbs and verse number 8. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 8. The Bible says this: "A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised." A person will, if he has wisdom, will be commended. And this doesn't mean that everyone is going to commend him or that all will recognize. But generally speaking, when someone is wise, people around them know it, don't they? And they will begin to go to that person for counsel. They'll seek them out. Now, I want to point out that wisdom is a long process. And sometimes people want to have a reputation for wisdom without actually getting wisdom. And it can take a long time to really grow in wisdom and to get to the place where people recognize that you're walking in wisdom. It really becomes obvious over the long haul whether someone is walking in wisdom or not. I'll give you an example. It's easy for someone to say, "I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to be a disciple of Christ." hey, I'm going to be a follower of Christ. That's great. And we ought to say, well, praise the Lord. We're glad that you're going to be a follower of Christ. But, you know, the real test is, in a couple of years, are you still going to be a follower of Christ? In 15 years, are you still going to be a follower of Christ? Through the ups and downs of life, are you still going to be a follower of Christ? That's when we find out whether someone is walking in wisdom. My wife and I were talking about this, I think, yesterday. And it struck me how often I've seen people who were smart, people who were incredibly intelligent, people who were talented, people who knew in their smartness, in their intelligence, they knew what the Bible said. People who could expound or explain things about the Scriptures. And they could make it make sense. And you thought, wow, they have a lot going for them. Those very same people today. And I think, where are they? You know, the things that they said, the things that they pointed out that were true, are not things that they're living according to. That's because wisdom is more than what is up here. Wisdom is what is in your heart. Wisdom is what is evidenced in your life. Wisdom is what you live out. It's easy to know what to do. It's quite another thing to depend upon the grace of God to do it. And we see that if we're wise, a man will be commended according to his wisdom. We live in a world of shortcuts. We live in a microwave society. Quick, everybody recognize how wise I am. But that's not really how it works. Over the long haul, we see whether someone is wise or not. And those who have wisdom, God says, they'll receive honor. They'll receive some praise, if you will. And really, I believe the emphasis is on God's approval. So there's honor, and there's length of life, and there's real riches, and there's satisfaction. But now go back to Proverbs chapter 3, and let's look at a fifth benefit of wisdom. If you get wisdom, if you pursue after wisdom, if you walk with wisdom, verse number 17 says this, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Doesn't that sound lovely? I think that's the kind of walk that I want to have. And so fifth of all, those who get wisdom will have a pleasant and peaceful walk. Now, I don't think that God is telling us that if we walk in wisdom, it's going to be easy. It's always going to be simple. It's always going to be a piece of cake. It's always going to be so simple, and you're not going to have any troubles. That's not what God is saying. However, there is a deep sense of settledness and peace to the person who walks in wisdom. That word pleasantness, which is used there in verse 17, has the idea of that which is delightful, that which has beauty, that which gives or shows the favor of God. Do you ever sometimes look at your life and think, God, why are you so good to me? God, why do you bless my life in these ways? When I think about verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. I think about going out in the woods and walking down a path and just there in the woods with my family, maybe taking in God's creation and looking at all that God has made and thinking about my family and listening to the birds and the leaves and the trees and the grass and all the things around and a pleasant place. And thinking, wow, God has blessed me. God has been good to me. And this is a picture of the person who walks in wisdom, that though the way is not always easy, it will be a path of peace and pleasantness. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And the primary application or interpretation of that verse is nothing is going to trip them up. Nothing is going to keep them from following the Lord. Nothing is going to cause them to stumble in their following after the Lord. Not the offenses from other people. Not the offenses that come through the trials of life. Why? Because they have peace. Because they love God's wisdom. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Chapter 2, look at verse 7 and 8. The Bible says there about the Lord giving us wisdom. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. When we think about a pleasant and peaceful walk, we're reminded that wisdom gives us stability in the path that we're walking. When we have wisdom, when we grab a hold of God's wisdom, it's like a staff that we get. And if you're hiking, sometimes you need a staff so that you can keep your footing stable, so that you can keep from slipping and falling. And you might use that staff to feel your way along the path to give you some stability. And that's the idea of wisdom. God is a buckler. He holds us up. He gives us stability in the path of wisdom which he wants us to walk in. God is good to keep the paths of judgment and to preserve the way of his saints. In this pleasant and peaceful walk, God is the one who holds us up. And I'm thankful for that. In chapter 15, look at chapter 15 and verse 21. The Bible says there, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. But a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Now that word uprightly is an interesting word. It has the idea of walking in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, that is according to the judgments of God's truth. And a man who is wise, a man who has understanding, walks in a way that he is upright. He walks in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. So in this pleasant and peaceful place where he's walking, he's pleasing to the Lord. Now, again, God is not saying that if you walk in wisdom, it's always going to be easy, that it's always going to be a cakewalk. No, we realize there's trials and we realize there's troubles. But, you know, in the midst of that, there's peace and there's pleasantness. I think one of the great sources of pleasantness in this walk of wisdom is knowing that we're walking with the Lord. By the way, isn't that one of the things that makes a walk very pleasant? Is walking with someone? I remember a number of years ago, I was doing some traveling. This was before I was married. And I was traveling across the United States and I was in several different churches. And along the way, I would stop and look at things. Every once in a while, I'd see some attraction and I'd stop my car and I'd get out and look at it. And here's how I would look at it. Oh, that's nice. Don't you think that's nice? Yeah, I think that's nice. That's good. All right, get back on the road. There's not a whole lot of joy in looking at something by yourself, is there? You think, well, that was nice. Now I saw it. You know what I've noticed since I got married and I have kids is that we spend a lot more time looking at things. And sometimes we're looking for things. Looking for a pacifier, looking for shoes, jackets, socks, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if we go someplace now, it's a lot more enjoyable, isn't it? Because you've got people along with you. And when I think about walking with the Lord, I think the thing that makes this walk so pleasant is that the Lord is with me. That the Lord is walking alongside me. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us he's made to us wisdom and righteousness and honor. He is wisdom, and he walks with me in that path, which is what makes that path so pleasant and so peaceful, is because I have the author of the path walking with me. It's a pleasant and peaceful walk. If you pursue after God's wisdom, I can't tell you that your life will be perfect and that you'll never have troubles, but I can tell you that you can experience the peace of God. I can tell you that you can experience real pleasantness in your life and find that God keeps his promises. Finally, back in our text in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 18, what is the benefit of wisdom? Number 6, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her, keeps her. She is a tree of life. When I think about the prophet of wisdom, number 6, I believe that this is true, that those who get wisdom get real life, true life. Isn't it sad today? How many people are alive, but they're dead? They're alive, physically speaking. They're breathing. They're walking. They're taking nourishment. But their life is dead to God. To be physically alive and spiritually dead is a waste of a God-given life. And we know from Ephesians chapter 2 that we were at one time dead in trespasses and sins, but now we've been quickened by God's grace. If you've been saved, that's true of you. But you know, God wants us to live a life that really exhibits that we're alive. Now, God's purpose is more than that we would take up space on this earth and satisfy our desires and our lusts. God wants us to live a life that is pleasing to Him. Look in verse 22. I pointed this out a little bit earlier, and we looked at that idea of wisdom being grace to thy neck. But in verse 22, it says also, so shall they be life unto thy soul. The soul is the inner man. The soul is more than just the outside. You know, it's really sad to see someone who just goes through the motions of life, who just is existing. They get up, they do their thing, they go to bed, and day after day, just like that, they really have no purpose. And you think, wow, look at how they're living their life. God doesn't want us to live like that. God wants us to live in a way that is wise. And if we live in a wise way, God's principles of wisdom are life to our soul. They give us, if you will, an animating purpose from the inside out. And that's an important thing. Wisdom also, look in chapter 19 and verse number 8. Says this, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. Wisdom allows us to preserve our souls. Wisdom is that which is of great benefit to our inner man, to the mind and the emotion and the will, to us being a person that is whole. There's a lot of people in our world today that are not whole people. They're partial. That is, they're not alive to God spiritually. But wisdom, one of the primary principles of wisdom, or one of the foundational principles of wisdom, is about our relationship to God. And we realize that's impossible without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can have true life. Wisdom allows us to preserve our souls. And we looked at this not too long ago on a Sunday morning. If a man loses his soul and gains the whole world, what has he really gained? If we lose our souls, what have we really gained? You know, we can have real life. Wisdom tells us how to really live. Now, as we think about these benefits of wisdom, we realize that Satan offers a counterfeit for God's wisdom in every case. And Satan promises us all of the benefits that God tells us that will come to those who have wisdom. Satan lies to us and he says, if you follow my way, then you can really get this. You can really be happy if you do it my way. If you do what I tell you to do, then you can have honor. Then you can have a pleasant life. You can get riches and your life will be long and it'll be satisfying and you'll have peace and pleasantness in your life. And you can really, really have a life. But it's all a lie. And you know what we're going to have to decide in our own personal walk is this. Who am I believing? And who am I living for? Because we always hear the voice out there of the world and of Satan saying to us, this is how to really have life. But God tells us, He promises us in His Word, if you want real life, it's through His wisdom. It's pursuing His wisdom. Now, I've said all this tonight, and as we bring this to a close, this series about wisdom, I've said all this to say this. God's wisdom is worth pursuing. It's worth investing your life in. It is worth obtaining. And I hope that you will resolve in your heart, those of you who are here tonight, you say, I know that I'm saved, I know I'm a child of God. Resolve in your heart to invest your life. Invest the moments of your days and the energy of your attention and your vigor to pursuing after the wisdom of God in His Word. Because His wisdom is truly valuable. His wisdom is riches that are far beyond our wildest imagination. And he places them right here at our fingertips and he says, find it. Seek after it. Search after wisdom. He gives it freely. And God is so good that he not only gives us the principles of wisdom, but he gives us the person of wisdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes us able to be able to live the principles of wisdom so that we can have all of the profit of wisdom that God offers to us through his word. Tonight, may it be said of God's people that we are wise because of the grace of God. And let us pursue after wisdom.